This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله 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 الله.
Par excellence presents Jewels from the Holy Quran, a series of lectures by Mufti Ismail ibn Musa Menk. Lecture 16, Jews 18 and 3 quarter to Jews 20.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على أشرف الخلق أجمعين نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, and dearest listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this Quran as a point of mercy for all of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in it verses that should move us, verses that should cause the trembling of the heart, verses that should cause the spiritual upliftment of the soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and the ability to see the lessons that are clear and manifest in the Quran. In Surah An-Naml, which is the surah that we commenced with in tonight's recitation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the story of the ant at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam.
حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون.
When Sulaiman alayhi salam got with his army to a certain valley, the valley of the ants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sulaiman alayhi salam heard the ants speak. One ant spoke to the rest and told them to go into their houses, because if they don't do that, they might just be trampled by the army of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. So Allah says,
فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا.
Sulaiman alayhi salam, who could understand the language of the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he smiled because he heard the speech. He paused and stopped his whole army to wait for those ants. And he says, Oh Allah, grant me the ability, grant me the acceptance to be able to be from amongst those who are thankful and grateful for what you have given me. May Allah make us also from amongst those who are thankful and grateful for what Allah has provided us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that story here in the whole surah, which is named after the ant. The lesson is for us as a Muslim ummah. If that one ant had noticed what was going on and did not inform the others, what was going to happen? The others might have suffered in one way or another, either been trampled or whatever would have happened. But because the ants also have a genuine feeling for the rest of their ummah, we need to have a genuine feeling for the rest of the members of this ummah, and that will solve our crisis. In the same way that one ant is nothing in terms of power compared to 1 million ants who can bring down a solid building, one member of the ummah does not have as much power as 1 billion members of the ummah. That is a lesson of unity from the surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the same surah, He tells us, look, there is one ant. That ant means nothing. You know, when you see an ant, you can actually spray a little bit of Bagon or Doom or Killam, as we've spoken about it in the past, and you can get rid of that. But when there are 1 billion ants, then you need to walk away. You need to now get the exterminators, those who are experts, and you need to call in the fumigators and vacate your home to make sure that you get rid of them, because their power is far greater than just a few meager ants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he continues to make mention of some of the other gifts that he granted Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how he looked for the hoopoe bird in his army. And remember Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, as we will see in verses to come in other surah that we will be reading inshallah. He had made a dua to Allah and he had the power and ability to communicate with most of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his army was a massive army. In it was the wind. He had the command of the wind, the birds and all the other creatures, the jinn as well. So one day the hoopoe bird was missing and Sulaiman alayhi salam was looking at all his army. He noticed the bird is missing. He said, "Where is this hoopoe bird?" وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ. He looked at the birds in his army and he says, "What's wrong? I don't see the hoopoe bird." So after some time, the hoopoe bird came and gave him news. You know, there is a lady there. They worship the sun and she is the leader of those people, the Queen of Sheba. It is reported that here they are speaking of the Queen of Sheba or Bilqis. According to some narration, they've even named her. So Sulaiman alayhi salam was amazed and he says, "Listen, I will see." سَنَنْظُرُ أَصَدَقْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ اِذْهَبْ بِكِتَابِي هَذَا فَأَلْقِهْ إِلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا يَرْجِعُونَ. I will see if you are telling the truth. You are speaking about this lady and her nation who are worshipping the sun. Let's see. Take this letter of mine, go and give it to them, and then turn back and stay at a distance and watch what they do. Let's see what happens. What was in the letter?
إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَيَّ وَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ.
Straight to the point. This letter is from Sulaiman, starting in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most forgiving, most merciful. Sulaiman is asking her and her subjects to come as submitters and not to be from amongst those who are haughty. One thing, straight, to the point. So this lady was very intelligent. She saw this letter, she read it out to her subjects. And remember, some of the scholars speak about why the word min Sulaiman was written before the term Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Normally you start at the top, you write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then you can write from so and so. But in his case, he was fearing that if they had to curse someone, they would curse the first name at the top. To say, "Look, this is from who? Let's see, how can they do this?" If they saw Allah's name, lest they curse Allah, he decided to write his own name first. To say, "This is from Sulaiman," then he says, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." When we write our letters, we are not Sulaiman. So let's start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, inshallah. And we don't have that fear, inshallah. So here, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, what had happened is, this lady read the letter, she asked her subjects, "Do you know what?" She said, she was very intelligent, she said, "Let's send them a gift, see what they do." So she sent a very, very big gift to Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, who obviously had much more than what Allah had bestowed anybody else. In one dua in Surah Sad, he says, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, grant me kingdom which no one after me will get. Grant me the power and authority which no one after me will get. And definitely he had control over most of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. So this lady, she made a comment which is very important. She told her subjects and her leaders, who told her that whatever you decide, we are ready. You want to conquer those people, we will fight in the army. You want to go as submitting people, we will also submit with you. So she said,
إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ.
You know, my worry is when the kings attack nations, when other countries and other leaders attack nations, they turn the nation upside down. Those who are leaders become the worst and those who are the worst are made the leaders. I'm sure we can see that across the globe today also. Any nation that is attacked, the worst from amongst them is made the leaders. And those who were leaders are made to be the worst from amongst them. So they are literally turned upside down. That woman understood it so many years ago. Today, the most intellectual so-called people of the globe don't even understand something that a lady understood a long time ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So she said, "No, let us send this gift." Sulaiman alayhi salam sent a response. In fact, he spoke to his people now. He says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Oh my army, oh my people, who from amongst you can bring her whole throne and everything from her surroundings, lift it up literally and bring it to me here, now. So obviously he had the power over the jinn. عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. One of the solid jinn, the big one. He says, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. I will bring what you've asked for in front of you now, before you get up from your seat. Now we think that that is powerful. There was someone else who had more knowledge than Ifrit. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. The one who had knowledge from the book, and this shows us that knowledge is solid. He said, no, I will bring that to you before you blink your eye. And as he blinked the eye, it was in front of him. What was in front of him? The whole throne with everyone around her, and absolutely everything was there. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she saw that this, I can never ever compete with this force. No ways. And then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam told his people, that change a little bit of her throne, this way, that way. Let's see if she understands. This is her throne, and what we've done, let's see if she can digest what has happened here. It would be difficult for us to digest it. So, she was asked, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قِيلَ أَهَاكَذَا عَرْشُكَ قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ. She was asked, is this your throne? Is this all yours? She said, well, it seems like it is. Because she too was a little bit baffled. How did this happen here? So she says, well, it seems like it is my throne. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of how she accepted Islam under the authority of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. When she saw the power, she said, oh Allah, I have oppressed myself. Worshipping the sun for nothing. Here is the creator of the sun who's given power to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Wa aslamtu ma'a Sulaiman lillahi rabbil alamin. I have submitted, ya Allah, together with Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, after that story which shows us the power of Allah and the fact that He has given certain powers to part of His creatures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention yet of other examples of unity. At the beginning of that 20th chapter of the Quran, first page, I'm sure we heard some verses that sounded quite similar, where the question is asked, أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there anyone worthy of worship besides Allah? Is there any deity, now that you've seen the power of Allah, anyone worthy of worship besides Allah? No, there isn't. So Allah there makes mention of حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةِ. The gardens which are so beautiful. Now the question I have, this is Surah An-Naml, the message is that of unity. That to show us that one means nothing, but together we have much more power. What is a garden made of? Lots of flowers, lots of roses. One rose is not a garden, it's a single rose. But when you have 1,000 roses, mashallah, different colors all together in the same garden, same purpose, growing at the same time, now we can say, Alhamdulillah, we've achieved the unity of all these roses, and together they created what a beautiful scene that we all enjoy. Allahu Akbar, message of unity. Let's take a look at another message of unity in Surah An-Naml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of وَجَعَلَ لَهَا رَوَاسِيَا. Allah says that He has made mountains. What is a mountain made of? Small particles of dust and sand. One particle of dust, I can blow it. But when there are billions of particles of dust, that mountain, I need to worry about it. It can drop and destroy my whole nation. It's a fact. That shows us as the Muslim Ummah, one of us, we don't have as much power as 1 billion do. May Allah unite us. Let's take a look at another example of unity in the surah. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا. Allah speaks of how He has created the oceans. So powerful that in the middle He has put a path. And He has made the two separate. Inshallah we'll speak of that some other day. But the point of unity is the water that makes the oceans, H2O, one little particle means nothing. It can evaporate with a little bit of heat, not even sunlight. But when you have 1 billion particles of water, we need to fear the tsunami. We need to fear the power of those waves that can take us and drown us. Allahu Akbar. The same applies in the Muslim Ummah. One of us, again, the message is, one of us does not have as much power as so many. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that surah makes mention of so many such examples where if you break it down just like the ant, one means nothing, many mean a lot. Here also, there are so many things Allah speaks about in the surah where one means nothing, so many mean a lot. And the message is for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Then Allah speaks at the end of that surah, Suratul Naml, of the day of Qiyamah, to show us how insignificant we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that Qiyamah.
وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ.
On that day that the trumpet is blown, everything in the skies and the earth shall be absolutely shaken up besides that which Allah wills. Now the question is, who will be saved from that shaking up, from that tremor, from that huge sound, from that huge shaking? Allah says,
مَن جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا وَهُمْ مِّنْ فَزَعٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ آمِنُونَ.
You want to know who will be safeguarded from the tremor? Those who come with good deeds. We will not only safeguard them from the tremor and the shock, but we will also grant them better than they have come with. Now, why does Allah say, man ja'a bil hasana, whoever comes with a good deed? Why does He not say, man amila hasanatan, or man fa'ala hasanatan? Why doesn't He say, whoever does a good deed, whoever has undertaken a good deed? Because it is very easy to do a good deed. We've all stood up here in salah, may Allah accept it from us. That was the easiest part of it. To go for hajj is simple, but to live as a haji thereafter is very difficult. So, to live as a person who has stood up in the month of Ramadan and done so many good deeds, that is simple. What is more difficult is to look after that deed in such a manner that we don't backbite, we don't oppress anyone. Because when we oppress someone, the hadith says, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who is the bankrupt person? He is the one who comes with a lot of good deeds, but he has come, backbitten this one, slandered that one, cheated that one, oppressed this one. So all his good deeds are taken and made payments, compensation to this person, that person, this person, that person, until all his good deeds are depleted. And then there are no good deeds remaining. So he takes the bad deeds of other people and he stands. He used to make salah in the first saf, but now he's standing on the day of Qiyamah. He has no good deeds, and in fact he has the bad deeds of everyone else. So what's the point of that? So Allah says, when you come with a good deed, we will multiply it 10 times, because it was 10 times more difficult to protect the deed up to the day you die than to just do the deed. When you do the deed here, it's easy, but now look after it. After, when you go tonight, watch your mouth. When you open your mouth, before you leave the masjid, if you've backbitten someone, that salah is already given to someone else before we walked out. That is why we start swearing as soon as we walk out of the doors of the masjid. May Allah protect us. This should not be the case. Rather, we must be from amongst those. When you've done a good deed, your spiritual level must go up. Don't be interested in others' lives. Worry about protecting that deed. That's why Allah says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. Whoever comes on the day of Qiyamah with that good deed intact. May Allah make us from amongst those. That is the secret behind the use of these words. So Allah speaks of how He will save those who have come with good deeds. May Allah make us from amongst them. The next surah is Suratul Qasas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the stories of whom? Of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. The most in-depth story of Musa alayhi salam with the greatest detail is in this surah, Suratul Qasas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun and how they planned and plotted, and Allah planned and plotted. And Allah makes mention of how Musa alayhi salatu wa salam's mother was told that, don't worry, we will return this child to you. If you're fearing, put him into that basket and put him in the water, in the Nile. And we will return him to you someday and we will make him a prophet. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. To the mother of Musa alayhi salam, He inspired her with the following words.
Inna radduhu ilayki wa ja'iluhu minal mursaleen.
We will definitely return him to you and we will make him from amongst the messengers. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah says later on,
فَرَدَدَنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ.
Later on, we returned Musa alayhi salam after he was separated by the will of Allah from his mother. We returned him to his mother. This is good news for those who have been separated from their children for one reason or another. Don't despair. Allah will return those children to you by His power. And Allah says, He will cool your eyes with that returning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never separate us with our children for whatever reason it may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with them in the dunya and in the akhirah. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was young, powerful, he was brought up in a house in such a way that had he been brought up in his own mother's house, he would not have had that upbringing. So Allah wanted to give him the best upbringing, so he was brought up in Fir'aun's house. Imagine, he had all the luxuries you can think of. But in his own mother's house, he wouldn't have had those luxuries. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we brought him up there. He was powerful. He was big, huge, and very, very strong. One day there was a dispute amongst two men. And Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was called. So he looked at the one who was wrong, and through his anger, he served him one blow. This was before his nubuwa. He served him one blow. That blow finished up this man. Literally killed him. May Allah protect us all. Imagine how powerful that was. Now please, let's not go and practice and say, I'm also as powerful. No. This is Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And we know that this is mentioned here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us that these anbiya were also, they were not just thin, weak men. They were powerful, solid men. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one of the narrations, had the power of 30 men. Allahu Akbar. He could ride a horse without a saddle. Nothing. Just hold the mane with one hand and carry on. Who can do that? Allahu Akbar. Not even the best of those who ride horses today from the on the whole globe can attempt to come close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in horse riding. Subhanallah. A sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, a powerful man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how after that incident, Fir'aun began to look for this man. And he ended up in Madian. When he ended up in Madian, he helped some strange women. Women who were not related to him, but he helped them for the sake of Allah. He helped them, they were there with a flock of sheep trying to give water to the sheep, and he helped them, and they returned home early that day. So their father was Shu'aib alayhi salam, asked them that, you know, how come you are early? So they mentioned the story. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. In fact, that is slightly after when Musa alayhi salam was called. When they mentioned the story to their father told them, go and call the man. Who is the man? He is a new man here. And let us see what he has. So when Musa alayhi salam came, he mentioned the story. What story? The whole story of how he grew up and what happened and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says how one of the daughters said, Ya abati istajirhu. Oh, our father, take him as a worker. Give him employment. Take him as a laborer. He can do this job for us on a daily basis. We'll pay him for that. Inna khayra man istajarta al-qawiyyul amin. The daughter is clarifying her statement. Oh my father, the reason I say that is because the best of employees is the one who is honest and hardworking. Or hardworking and honest. Qawi, hardworking. Amin, one who's honest. Up to today, when we work for someone, even for ourselves, if you have the two qualities, honesty and hardworking, you don't need a third. And when someone works for you, you look for two qualities, honesty and hardworking, you don't need a third. If a person is honest but not hardworking, we don't need them. Our business will flop. And if a person is very hardworking but he pinches day and night, we don't need him. Our business will flop. May Allah grant us the understanding. That lady had the understanding a long, long time ago. We, up to today, we haven't yet come up with that. May Allah grant it to us. May Allah make us, firstly, strong and honest and hardworking, inshallah. So, after that, this man made a statement which we all have a lot to learn from. He says, إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى بنتي هاتين على أن تأجرني ثماني حجج. I want you to work for me for 8 years. And I am proposing one of my daughters in marriage to you. Allahu Akbar. What do we learn from this? Do you know that sometimes culture, we are locked in the shackles of culture, where some cultures believe that women must sit at home and wait for proposals. That's not an Islamic belief. Absolutely absurd. We will die in that culture. We will punish our daughters. And we will be responsible on the day of Qiyamah. No. Proposals in Islam are both ways. Even Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, she proposed to marry Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The proposal came from the female, not from the male. Because the females are supposed to be in the houses. Who knows them? But when the males come to the masajid and they noticed a good lad, mashallah, good youngster, or they meet someone in the public or one of the relatives and so on, they know that back at home I have a daughter. Listen, young man, who is your father? I have a daughter, I'd like to, inshallah, get you married to her. Speak about it. If you don't speak about it, you don't get anywhere. Nowhere. So we should not be tied in the shackles of culture. We need to come out of that and understand Allah has mentioned this in the surah, not for nothing, for us to learn a lesson. Even the prophets gave away their daughters. The prophets gave away their daughters and they went out to propose and to say, listen, I have a daughter for you. I am proposing that she marry you. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy for us. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam thereafter got married and he went with his wife after the fixed period of working and so on. And as he went, he was lost. He was lost on the path, in the road. He was lost. It was dark. He didn't know the road. So he saw from a distance a light. And this is mentioned in many places in the Quran. But we want to translate this one. He saw a light. When he saw the light, he told his wife, you know what, you wait here. There is a light there. Let me go there. I will find guidance there. Listen very carefully to the words. I will find guidance there. Or I will find some form of warmth from there and I will bring it to you and I will inshallah benefit you with it as well. So he went. And he found as he got there, when he got closer and closer, he said, this light is a different light. But he had to get very close to realize that. And suddenly, Ya Musa, Inni anallahu rabbul alameen. O Musa, I am Allah. I am your Rabb. I am communicating with you. Allahu Akbar. What do we learn from that? We those who have family members. We are from amongst those who come to the masajid. Aren't all of us lost? We are astray spiritually. Somehow we need more guidance. All of us are. So we need to make an effort to look for light. Wherever it is coming from, we need to go in that direction. Tell our family members, hang on, I will benefit you from what I achieve. And it is only when you get closer to the masajid, when you get closer to the ulama, that you will notice that this light is of a different nature. That was the example of Musa alayhi salam. He left his family members, he went for the light. How many of us can actually go for the light, for the hidayah, for the lectures, for the various lessons that we have, for the salah in the masjid? And how many of us, when we return home, we actually have the time to sit with our family members and tell them, you know, this is what happened today. How many of us have done that? We are guilty. Wallahi, we are guilty. We come home, we want to sleep. No, don't disturb. Please, I don't want you to talk to me today. I'm tired. That's the attitude. And that's supposed to be your wife? What type of an attitude is that? Look at Musa alayhi salam. The prophets never used to do that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever told his wives anything of that nature. And here we are. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi. The best from amongst you is he or she who's best to his or her spouse. And yet we are the worst to our spouse, best to everyone else. When there's a woman we're not supposed to be talking to, mashallah, we smile at her and we want to speak in such a way as though we want to impress her. And you come home and suddenly your face changes. Your face changes as though there is a beast that has walked into the house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be the other way around. Because the true good person is the one who can be good with those closest to him or her. They will tell you, this man is very good. Allahu Akbar. But nowadays, 99 times out of 100, in fact, let me bring that a little bit down. 90 times out of 100, inshallah. 90 times out of 100, we have women who will tell you, no, you don't know this man. You don't know him. What does that mean? That means there is a different color to the man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And believe me, not that we want to say anything against the women folk, but we need to equate the statement. Sometimes it is happening on the other side as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our women folk also the ability to smile at their husbands, inshallah. And the ability to be assets in their own homes, rather than being an asset when they go out, and not being an asset when they are in the homes. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came back with nubuwah. He went to see if he had any light and guidance. He came back with the biggest guidance. And that was nubuwah and risala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Fir'aun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us all a lesson and understanding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he wanted to guide his uncle to Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that uncle Abu Talib would pass away without accepting Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter addresses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide whomsoever you wish, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Guidance lies in our hands, Allah is saying. That verse comforted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. Because then he knew that yes, guidance is in the hands of Allah. May Allah guide us all. We need to know our hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a dua to Allah. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Oh Allah, who turns the heart, turn our heart towards your deen and not away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question to the kuffar of Quraysh and to all of us as well, meaning to everyone, to entire creation.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ.
Do you see, O people, if Allah wants to let nightfall remain until Qiyamah, and it will be dark until the day of Qiyamah, who will bring you light besides Allah? Who can bring you light besides Allah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to keep it dark forever and ever? Don't you hear? And the next verse, Allah says, if Allah wants,
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ.
If Allah wants to keep it light throughout up to the day of Qiyamah, who will bring you the night so that you can rest? Don't you see? Allahu Akbar, the power of Allah. But more than that, I want to show you one of the secrets of the verses here. Allah says in the first case, if we left it dark, who will
be yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim fala ya'lamanna Allahu alladhina sadaqu wa la ya'lamanna الكاذبين.
Allah says, do people think that it is enough for them to say that we are believers and then they will not be tested with regards to that claim? We have definitely tested everyone before them and we shall test everyone inshallah after them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that we can know those who are truthful in their iman and those who are liars. That means when I say I'm a mu'min, Allah will test me. He's going to test me with what? With hunger. Do I still remain a mu'min? Or do I start worshipping someone who feeds me? He will test me with death in my family, with those who are closest to me. Either I die before them or they've got to die before me. Have we ever thought of that? If you are married, you've got to die or your wife's got to die before you. Or if a person is a wife, then the husband's got to die or you die before one another. Or both die together. But death has to come. That's a test. When death comes, do you remain a mu'min? Do you understand it's Allah? Or do you start questioning Allah's decree and lose your iman? When a calamity befalls you, do you say, Ya Allah, that's the best thing. If you have decided it, I'm not worried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Allah, if you are happy with me, there is nothing else I want. Never mind they beat me up in Ta'if. No problem. So long as you are happy with me. Do we do that? So tests will come in our direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. And when a test comes, who do we call out to? Allah speaks about that. And this is why the spider is mentioned.
مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ.
Allah says, those who then call out to others besides Allah, they are like those who are seeking protection from the enemy through a spider web. And they should understand the weakest house is that of a spider. Meaning the web of a spider is so weak. Imagine if someone wants to fist you and you quickly put a web in front of you and you say, no, I'm protected. That fist will go straight through and the web will also damage your skin. Allahu Akbar. It's a fact. So rather than seeking protection from others, Allah says, seek protection from Allah directly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Bring you light. Don't you hear? Why don't you hear? Why does Allah say, don't you hear? Why didn't He say something else? Because at night, you can't see, you can hear. That's why when Allah says, if we kept it dark, who would bring you with light? Don't you hear? Allahu Akbar. And the next one, Allah says, if it was light, who would bring you with darkness? Don't you see? Because during the daytime, you can see. Allah never makes a mistake. Because if He said, don't you see? Someone might debate the Quran and say, well, I can't see at night. Allahu Akbar. No loopholes in the Quran. Nothing wrong. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the power to understand the beauty and the the real words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Qarun. Qarun was a very, very rich man. Do you know how rich? Let me explain to you. No one can compete with Qarun in terms of wealth. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ We gave him treasures. So many treasures full of gold and the most expensive of wealth.
مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ
The keys of the treasures, not the treasures. The keys of the treasures were so difficult for a group of powerful men to even carry. Allahu Akbar. That's how much wealth he had. Today, we have one credit card and we think we've got the world. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Here, this man had so much that just the keys to those treasures, people could barely carry those keys. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us the understanding. But he had bad wealth. What is the difference between bad wealth and good wealth? Good wealth is that which when you get it, it makes you humble. You got it in the right way and it made you closer to people and you spend it on the public, on the people, on your family, on goodness, in that which will please Allah. Because when you spend that money, Allah knows that now you've understood that this wealth came from Allah and you must spend it back on the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That then is good money, inshallah. The money which brings you down to earth, which makes you understand your level, which makes you still greet the people, that is good wealth. But bad wealth is that, and we've spoken about it, where a person begins to become arrogant and a person begins to feel that I am the one. This is my knowledge. I did it myself and I am the one. Qarun did that. And there were some people who were wishing. Some people who were wishing. Hey, we wish.
قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ
The people who wanted the dunya and they loved the dunya, they said, oh, we hope and we wish that we had like Qarun.
وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا
Those who had knowledge warned them and said, do you know what? The rewards of Allah is far better than all this and the good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us rewards and may He give us the ability to engage in good deeds. So Allah decided to destroy Qarun and the earth swallowed him up. The following morning they didn't see him there.
فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ
We caused the earth to eat him and his whole house and everything he had. It was all gone. Now the people got up in the morning, but where's the palace we saw? And they realized it was the punishment of Allah. Everything disappeared. Allahu Akbar. This shows us when you have wealth, Allah can take it away. So make use of it whilst you have it. If you don't have it, Allah can give it to you. So understand that do not become such a person that starts complaining to Allah and being ungrateful because you say, you know what, I don't even have anything. Allahu Akbar. Let's appreciate whatever we have, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how those who were hoping that they would have had like Qarun, they made another dua and they said, Ya Allah, we thank you for not having given us. Had you given us, you would have also taken us away with him. Allahu Akbar. That is why when you see someone wealthy, make dua for them. But tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, if it is better for me to have wealth, give it to me. If it is not better, don't give it to me. Because sometimes it's not better. That wealth can make us the worst of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us whom the akhirah and jannah is created for.
تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا
That akhirah, we have made it. That abode in Jannah, we have created it for those who do not want to be haughty and those who are not corrupt in this dunya. May Allah not make us from amongst those who are corrupt and may He not make us from amongst those who become arrogant and proud. Then in the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named it after Ankabut. Ankabut is the spider. And there are two lessons I'd like to mention from this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the opening verses tells us,
Alif Lam Mim Ahasiban Nasu Ayn